Father, I truly do thank you and I praise you and I give you all honor and all glory. I thank you for each one of your children who came out tonight to sit at your table and eat fresh manna from heaven. I thank you, Father God, that you are in control of all things and you are the author and finisher of each one of our lives and that you love us dearly. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, your Holy Spirit, your angelic host. Father God, we love you. And we thank you for being with us in all aspects of our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How many of you realize you're in a battle? And the battle's for your life. First of all, he's after your ministry, and then when he gets your ministry, then he's going to kill you and take you straight to hell where he can torment you forever and ever and ever. The body of Christ, you know, I was getting the song service together, and did you notice it was all about praise? First of all, we realized who Jesus really is, and it was all about praise because we're going to have to learn to live in 24/7 praise. Things aren't going to get lighter. They're going to get darker. But God has promised us years ago that when a dark, gross darkness hits, his light would shine brighter than a gross darkness. So you're going to have to learn how to praise like never before. You know, I always see Astrid run up here and dance and shout. And I get excited because she has no reason to dance and shout. And everything that hell can throw at her, he's throwing at her continually, nonstop. Maybe some of the things are her fault, but come on now. We all do dumb things. But she still praises the Lord. She just still lets the enemy know, you know, you might be jumping all over me, but I'm going to jump all over you. And I admire her for that. A lot of you get a broken fingernail and you won't even want to come to church. Amen. I'm just really letting you see you're going to have to learn to praise the Father. I started to say I was getting the praise and worship songs together and ran across one by Brandon Lake. So I put it on to play and I didn't realize it was whenever they went to, one of the times they went to the prison and did, you know, songs up there in the prison. And I started looking at the men, you know, that were there. You know, the blacks and the whites, and watching how they were praised and how they were responding to the words of the songs. And all of a sudden, I started just uncontrollably crying. And that's when that happens, that's God. And God said, I need a revival in my black community. And he was weeping. And I thought about you girls sitting here. What are you really doing? Are you really sold out to God? Are you really wanting to be ones that God can use to start a revival in the black community? God's given me a heart for that community lately in the last 6 months, and it just keeps getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And I know churches are packed out with black. He didn't say African-American, so I'm going to say black people, and it's not derogatory. They're packed out with black people, but so much religion. It's not spirit, you know. And religion's not going to get you to heaven. And, you know, God's going to hold you people to come in here, you know, you young people, or anybody, anyone that comes in here, and you sit under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and you don't go out there and try to get somebody else saved, that you don't share it with them. We have so much. But God said, we're still greedy. We hold it to our bosom when really God wants us to get out there and to share it with a lost and dying generation. And if you can't stand the suffering, then get out of the game. Because it's not going to quit. The suffering's not going to quit. Read your word. It tells you that in your word. It's time, saints, that we stand up. And we need to go out there. Do I not have a thing up there? Oh, we're not ready yet, right? Or ready. I was going to get excited here. You know, we're going to be held accountable for those lives that every day are going into hell because you just got what you got and either kept it or just forgot about it, and you don't care if anybody else gets it or not. And really what you're saying is, I don't care if I, you know, you yourself go to heaven or not. You know, you're just doing your thing. It's important that you guys get a hold of this. You need to quit being so self-centered, and you need to get out there and start sharing the word of Jesus Christ. All right. Tonight, I'm going to teach some more out of John Ramirez's book, but I got to say one thing. I have to eat crow tonight, boy. I shot my mouth off about canned prayers. And when I was typing up what John Ramirez is saying, he had these prayers. And I was reading them, and God said, I want you to share that with the people. So you got your prayers. And, you know, I looked at them, and I thought, really and truly, we all need to know these. You know, it's all about how to fight the devil in your life. But anyhow, I still don't believe in canned prayers, but these are good. These are good canned prayers. You go ahead and you read those, please. Use them. Use them in your walk with God. I told Brother Aaron, I said, I'm going to get a bag of marshmallows. And every time I say, this is what I believe in, throw a marshmallow at me. So maybe I'll just not continue what I was going to say. Amen. All right. This is what John Ramirez says. The devil is not your friend. We all say that right to each other, right? Did you hear me? He says, wake up. It is not a matter of if he is going to strike you. It is a matter of when. He's going to get you. I don't care what you have to say. He's going to get you. Just a matter of when. I heard a story once. This is what John's saying. Heard a story once about a scorpion that was trying to get to the other side of the lake. Excuse me. He stopped and had a conversation with a frog. He said, hello, Mr. Frog. How are you today? He engaged the frog in a conversation. Big mistake for the frog. It is the same way when the devil engages believers in a conversation. Big mistake. But I will continue with my story. The scorpion told the frog, what a lovely day today. There were blue skies and sunshine. The scorpion said, what did you say, Mr. Frog? And John said, the number one entrapment of the enemy is to engage you in a conversation. How many of you have ever had a conversation with the devil? I want to see hands. I've had many conversations with the devil. One time I was washing my car and he came. For an hour, he talked to me about what he was going to do to me. And for an hour, I told him, you can't kill me. You can't do these things you're saying you can do. But I also knew that he could because God told me he could. The only thing he couldn't do to me was kill me. All right. So when the enemy comes and has a conversation with you, the only thing he can't do is take your life. He can turn you every which way but loose. And he can do all the things he said. What do you think Job's all about? Well, you let me go and talk to Merlin and do this or that to Merlin. He's going to leave you. And then he comes to you and he tries to do exactly what he thinks he can do to take you out. You're going to have to determine this night that it doesn't matter what the enemy determines to do to take you out, he is not going to take you out. All right? You're going to have to determine that. You know, when I was first born again, I had an awful lot of visions and conversations and everything. And one night my father said to me, he said, you know, my heavenly father, he said, your husband's going to go to, say he's going to have to go to his workplace. I want you to go with him. I said, I don't want to. I have things doing. You know, he was running women. I said, I really don't want to go with him. He said, I want you to go with him. And then he showed me a vision. And in this vision, this woman was walking behind my husband, and she was trying to get him, you know, just snatch onto him. And God said to me, don't let him look back. So I told him, and I had my hands in the back, said, you can't look back. You know, this isn't a vision. And then the woman got really angry with me, and then she dropped to the ground and turned into a snake. And God said, don't let him look back. Whatever you do, don't let him look back. And about then, the snake turned into Satan himself, and he lunged at me, and God put a glass division between me and Satan. And Satan beat on the glass, and he said, I'll kill you. Well, after I saw the vision, I knew that there was some lady there going to set him up in a trap, so I went. And when we pulled in, here was this lady standing out by the door he had to go in. That was a woman that was in the vision. And I got out of the car, and we walked up there. My husband said, please go with me. I walked up there, and as I walked by her, she said, I'll kill you. It was the same voice that I heard when Satan told me that. And he went in and did what he had to do, and then he left. We left immediately, and she was screaming, I'll kill you. God will warn you what's going to go on. You guys don't understand. If you walk with God with all your heart, he will show you. I've had so many visitations. And Satan's come to me in person and talked to me. He's handsome. Jesus is not. Satan is very handsome. Jesus is not. The Bible tells us Jesus isn't. The Bible tells us Satan is handsome. But he will just say all kind of things to you to try to get you to stop your walk with God. He's very, very good at talking. I mean, you know, he can just woo your ears right off your head. But you have to know who you are in Christ, and you have to know that, excuse me, Jesus is out to save you and Satan's out to kill you. All right, we're talking about having a good day here, right? The frog said, yes, Mr. Scorpion, we have beautiful skies and a sunshiny day. And John said, this is how the devil draws you in, because he's trying to get something from you. The scorpion said, by the way, Mr. Frog, do you find yourself to be busy today? And John said, this is the enemy setting up the entrapment. Sensing the need for caution and a little bit intimidated, the frog replied, not really. Why do you ask? The scorpion said, I seem to have a dilemma, and I was hoping you could help me on this beautiful day. And John said, this is what the devil does to many believers today. He paints a pretty picture. The frog hesitated, but finally said, what is your dilemma, Mr. Scorpion? The scorpion replied, it's just a simple thing that I request. And John said, that is just like the devil setting up the believer to make him think that what is happening at the moment is something small. Then later on, you have no way out. The scorpion then said, I would like to get to the other side of the lake and visit some friends. Do you think, Mr. Frog, that you can help me? He said this with a demonic grin on his face, looking polite and humble at the same time. And John said, this is what the devil does to the church at large, presenting something that seems so innocent but is deadly spiritually. The frog was too intimidated to respond to the scorpion's request. John said, many of us are intimidated to confront the enemy head on. We're going to stop there. There's times in my walk with God I have been intimidated and did not confront the devil head on. I'm just being honest. Then I learned I can't do that, because if I don't confront that devil head on, then it's going to turn and turn and turn and turn into a swamp that you can't get out of. So if you haven't done that, well, then don't do that. All right, the frog took a second or two and finally said, Mr. Scorpion, if I agree to help you and bring you to the other side of the lake, I know you're going to sting me and I will die. The scorpion hesitated a beat, looked the frog straight in the eyes and said, why should I do that to you when you are willing to help me out to visit my precious friends? I promise you and give you my word that I will not do such a thing to you. And John said, no one thing. The devil does not negotiate, and he plays for keeps. How many people that are alcoholics, they'll say, just one little drink. The devil's just one little drink. It won't hurt you. And what does he do? He uses another alcoholic to entice you to do that. Now, that one little drink will kill you. All right, let's talk about the snare of the fowler. Psalm 91 describes the fowler, which is the devil, and the four entrapments of the enemy. The deadliest of the entrapments is the young lion. This is a metaphor of the sin we think we can play with and put away anytime we want to. It isn't that the truth? John said, this is the devil's game, and he does not negotiate. Are you understanding that you are not playing with a fool? The enemy is very, very wise, and he calculates everything he does to get you on his side. James 1:12 says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. You are the one that is giving in to the enticement. You are the only one that you can blame for the sin that you have yourself entrapped in. You are the one that kept opening door after door after door and allowed the enemy to come in. If you'd have kept the door shut, the enemy wouldn't have come in. But you kept opening it over and over and over again. I'll just watch this one more time. One more time, 1,000 times later, you're still watching it. The one more time entrapped you. All right, the frog decided to let the scorpion sit on his back and take him safely across the lake. Wasn't that frog dumb? As they swam across the lake, the frog was cautious and fearful at the same time. As they approached the halfway point of the journey, the scorpion stung the frog. I see when John was telling the story, I thought, well, why did he do it halfway across? Shocked, the frog turned to the scorpion and said, why would you do a thing like that when you promised me you wouldn't sting me? The scorpion smiled and said, it is in my nature to lie. I can't help myself, and that's why I did what I did. And John said, this is who the enemy is. This is his true identity. He is deceptive and cunning. And the Bible makes it clear in John 10:10 that the devil has one mission: to steal, kill, and destroy. But his tactics are limited. Jesus came to give us life in abundance. When you're in sin, you do not have a life, period, let alone in abundance. Because you're constantly under the pressure of that sin that's trying to kill you. Even though the devil's tactics are limited, he will use them in clever and deceitful ways to try to accomplish his mission, to keep us from the abundant life that Jesus Christ has bought for us by the finished work of the cross. We do not want to be like Mr. Frog. Sadly, the church today has become just like Mr. Frog in associating and compromising with the enemy of our souls. The church is Mr. Frog. In general, they are. The churches are full of adultery, fornication, lust, all manner of evil. I was totally shocked when I got born again at the sin that was inside of a spirit-filled church. I just couldn't believe it. But it hasn't decreased, it has increased. And that's one reason why you don't get too many saved. They don't need what we have. They already have it. They're looking for something different. And the body of Christ doesn't show them anything different. John said, as I mentioned earlier, my friend Pastor Bill from First Love Ministry described the church as a type of Samson lying in the lap of Delilah, a type of the world. I will go a step further and say that Delilah is a type of the devil, and we are playing the violin and singing the devil's songs. when God has called us to be true worshipers. A lot of the stuff that he says, God's already taught us over the years. Why is God having me do this right now? It's because you need to understand that you're not where you should be with God. And you're going to be dealing with people that are sin-laden. And you're going to, if you're lustful, you're going to sit there trying to tell them about Jesus. And a devil in lust with them is going to rape you. And you're going to be lost, and you're lost and never going to get saved. And God wants to let you know exactly where you are not. You're not sitting in the fullness of who you should be in Jesus Christ. Okay, conquer your deliverance. Conquer your deliverance. You've been through a deliverance, unconquer it. There was a story in the witchcraft. This is John speaking. There was a story in the witchcraft world where I lived for 25 years. The man and the violin. Now, y'all know that John Ramirez served Satan for 25 years. He was Satan's son, and he knows exactly what he's talking about. If you buy his book about his testimony, he'll tell you from beginning to end. He gets more torment from Satan than anybody I've ever seen. Satan's very angry with him, and Satan will never let up on John. He will continually try to get him back into his kingdom so he can destroy him. You haven't even been the son of Satan, and he, you know, and you're messed up. All right, John said, this man was so desperate to play the violin that he was willing to pay the ultimate price, no matter what it cost him. If you ever watched America's Got Talent, remember the young man who played all the tricks with the cards? He's won over and over and over again. He's the top one. He told them one day, he said, I sold my soul to Satan to be who I am today. And I had just told my kids, he sold himself out to the devil. And when he wanted to be the top, what do you call it, a magician-like person. And he sold his soul to Satan. He does things that no normal person could ever do. I don't know if you ever watched him or not. Totally sold out. He might be having fun now and making lots of money, but it's not going to be so nice when he goes to hell. Not unless somebody gets to him and gets him saved. All right, John says, it's like the believer who wants something so badly and wants to be blessed at any cost that it does not matter who shows up and blesses him. Isn't that the way it goes? The biggest mistake that the devil wants you to make is to take your eyes off Jesus' face and place them on his hands instead. And this is called the gimme mentality. I'm entitled to it. How many times has God spoke to you and said, look straight ahead, keep your eyes upon me? He's been telling us that a lot in the last year. Keep your eyes on Jesus and not on the things that are going on around about you. John said, the man who wanted to play the violin heard a voice one day that said, meet me in the forest and I will make you a master player of the violin. He kissed his family that morning and said, I will be back in a couple of hours. And off he went on his journey to meet this mystery man. Then John reminds us the devil does not negotiate. Once he was in the forest, the man was taught how to play the violin in a matter of seconds, minutes, and hours. An incredible sound came out of the forest, and he ran home to share the news with his family. As he approached the door of his home, there was a man on the other side of the open doorway. And to his shock, the stranger said, can I help you, sir? The man with the violin responded, this is my home. The stranger said, no, I don't think so. The man said, call Sally, my wife, and she will testify that I live here and that she is my wife. When Sally came to the door, she was shocked to see the man standing there. The man said, honey, do you remember me? She answered, I thought something happened to you because you never came back. He replied, baby, I was only gone for one day. She looked him straight in the eyes and said, no, you are wrong. You have been gone for 20 years. So the man lost everything. He lost his home, his wife, and his family because of what he wanted so badly. John said many Christians today lose their purpose and destiny and above all their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Even the church at large has gone into the forest and lost its mission on the earth. But that should not be the end of our story. It's time to get back to the perfect will of God. You know, I've heard so many Christians and, well, people in the house of God say, I'd give anything for that. I'd give anything if I could be in bed with that woman. I could give anything if I had that car. Satan's listened to everything you're saying. I don't care if you're saying this, saying how well you're saying it. He's listening. He'll give you what you want, but he's going to take everything from you. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when a day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Remember, God told me not too long ago that the body of Christ is not using every weapon of warfare that he placed in the word to use, and that's why they're losing battles. You know, I wish that each one of you could have experienced everything I've experienced since I got born again. I have so many wonderful experiences. I should write a book. But, you know, I'm not interested in what I used to have. I want what God has for us now. And what he has for us is to win these souls. And he has me weep over souls, different people. And he said, they've left me. And I had so much for them. And I've looked some of those people in the face knowing that they're eternally lost. But I can't tell them that. If you'll really live a holy life and walk with God with purity of heart, he's going to show you things that other people will never see. I count myself blessed. You know, when I see Astrid, I say, you know, because I have a lot of health issues, I say, God, I'm blessed. I'm really blessed. And, you know, that's the way we should feel about everybody. There's always somebody that's worse off than you are. We don't feel like that. Fix me, fix me, fix me. Don't worry about the guy. Fix me. Well, you know, you're not going to get anything from God if you have that attitude. That's why a lot of marriages don't last, because I, through the years I've been traveling and everything, wives go, oh, I want my husband saved. I want my husband saved. I want my husband saved. The husband gets saved. They get jealous, and then now they want him unsaved again. You know, I really get upset with people like that. I run across men like that, too, in my journeys. And pray for my wife. She really needs to get saved. Then I go back that way again. The wife got saved, and God was using her, and the husband was upset and didn't want her saved anymore. See, we are not true children of God, and we're double-minded. And this is why the enemy can continually bombard us. All right, the ministry of violence. Let me introduce you to one, this is John speaking, to what I call the ministry of violence. If you think that sounds strange, know that I get it straight from Scripture. Do you remember this puzzling verse in Matthew 11:12? And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. This is the very first Scripture God ever gave me when I become born again. I didn't quite understand it then. It took me a couple of years to understand it. But if you see what it says, from the days of John the Baptist, that's when the war had to start, right? From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. So from the days that John the Baptist came on the scene, Satan was there. Because Jesus came on the scene at the same time, Satan was there to destroy Jesus, John the Baptist, and God's and the kids and the children that were going to be saved. Do you understand that? So we've been in a battle all those years, but you don't find very many ministers will even agree to that. And it's right there in the Word. All right, then John said, listen to me, my brother and sister, and listen carefully. When Lucifer was in heaven and evil was found in his heart, what was found evil in his heart. God said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. All right. He campaigned and petitioned for the support of many angels to overthrow God. But God always has a plan. I tell you from the place of a broken heart that the devil is campaigning for your support. And he makes that statement because he worked for the devil, and he did this to people to destroy them. Let me introduce you to the ministry of fire, violence, and terror that will destroy the enemy's camp. John says, today there should be a ministry in all churches, front and center, that will destroy the works of the devil. In Exodus 15:3, it says, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. And if you read it through your Bible, war after war after war was going on, and God was sending the angels to fight these battles for his people. So he's always been a man of war. It's just not something that happened when John the Baptist came on the scene. It's just not something that just happened recently because all we're going to. God has always been a man of war. John says, writing to his beloved spiritual son, Timothy, the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:6, this is what Paul says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. You know, Paul wasn't crying in his beer, sort of. He was writing letters of encouragement to the body of Christ. They're getting ready to kill me, but I want you guys to, you know what I've taught you. I want you to walk in what I've taught you, and I want you to accomplish all that God has set before you. This is what we should be doing. Not worrying about what Satan is doing to us, but what we are supposed to be doing for somebody else. You should feel the anointing that really strong right now. But we're so in tune to self and satisfying self that we can't even see the lost out there. Some of you sitting in here, I get so mad at you sometimes, I like to show you the door. Right? I'm serious. Because I see you being so self-centered. And all you can think about is me, 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 me. Well, you know what? I felt so bad today that I didn't want to come to church. I could have given Brother Chris my message. He could have given it, but I know this is my place. And if you know, and God is for me, and he's going to keep me. That's the way we all need to think. It's not an easy journey. God didn't say it was, and I'm not saying it is. But you enlisted in God's army, and now you're trying to back out. You might as well get out because it's going to get rougher. It's not going to get nicer. People just don't like you when you serve God. All right, if you want this to be your life, purpose, and destiny, like Paul here, and how you want to finish your race, also stop playing games with the devil. It is time to get ugly on the devil. Declare these two scriptures before we get into the spiritual warfare fight. Isaiah 8:18 says, here am I, and the children whom the Lord has given me. We are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells in Mount Zion. You're here for what purpose? Signs and wonders so the lost will come into the house of God. And the sign and wonder isn't you going to church and still being your same old self. That is sort of a sign and wonder, but not a good sign and wonder, right? John 14:12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. We are getting ready to go into the greater works. And God is fine-tuning his church. He said he has already shaken the regular churches. Now he's shaken the remnant churches, and he wants everything that's not of him shaken out of the remnant church before he drops his glory. And that's why you're going through the things you're going through, is because God's trying to get all the ugly shaken out of you so that all you are is a pure vessel of honor that he can work through. Come on. Okay, so we already handed out my little prayer points, right? Now listen, and then we're going to go into another part here. Still John, conquering your dreams. He said we need to understand the blueprint of the enemy's kingdom, his tactics, entrapments, and strongholds, and ultimately the bondage he tries. What does he say? We need to understand the blueprint of the enemy's kingdom, his tactics, his entrapments, and his strongholds, and ultimately the bondage he tries to incarcerate believers with. We need to understand all this, and the problem with the body of Christ is they don't. I need more recruiters in here who will really understand all this so that when you go out there, you can explain these things to the lost that you're talking to. You cannot defeat the devil when you do not understand what you're dealing with. We need insight into the devil's game plan upon your life and mine. I'm telling you tonight, if you would just surrender to God, you'll know what's going to happen to you before it ever happens, because God will warn you. But if you don't want that warning and want to get caught off guard, then don't surrender yourself to God, and the devil will have his little rope out there tripping you up every place you go. John said, I get so much email throughout the year describing how precious brothers and sisters are under attack throughout the night. This was interesting to me. Listen to what he says here. Back when I served the dark side, we would call it the night season. And there's a minister who her ministry is called the night season. She tells you all about the devil. John said, many of us today have experienced demonic dreams in every facet and form. Many of us could testify that we sleep, but we do not get rest. We are warring you throughout the night in our dreams. The enemy is. He's warring with you, keeping you from getting your rest throughout the night. It is time to destroy all satanic dreams. Listen to these words from Scripture, Matthew 13:25. While everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. How many times have you read that and never realized it's what God was saying here? Well, I've read it many times. I'll just use me. And, you know, just the other night when I was typing this, I said, oh, that's what that means. You know, I've been in this here since 1970. And this scripture just become reality to me. If you've known it, that's wonderful, because you're going to come across a scripture you didn't know what it means either eventually. Amen. So don't get so snooty. Amen. All right. In this very hour, Satan has unleashed thousands of evil spirits of the highest rank to sow destruction. Who's loosed all these spirits? Satan. The highest rank to sow destruction and plant demonic seeds and entrapments through your dreams. The enemy's number one agenda in the realm of your dreams is to monitor your spiritual life and bring destruction and darkness and enslave you. Now look what he says next. Many believers fail to be prayed up and to release their worries and cares to the Lord before they go to bed. If you learn to conquer your dreams, however, you will receive the peace of God before you lay your head on the pillow at night. Now, when I wrote that, I got to thinking, I used to, every night I'd cover the whole household in the blood of Jesus, wrap them in the blanket, you know, do everything I knew to do. But when I got sick, I quit doing that. I just do it off and on. And I always said, I've never had dreams and visions, but I've been having a lot of dreams and visions, and they aren't good ones. And it's because I didn't have myself covered, and the enemy came and tormented me while I slept. Now, unmask the enemy. These demons masquerade themselves in numerous ways. They chase you in dreams as spirit husbands or wives to have sexual encounters with you, so they can seduce you and have sex with you in your dreams. You might have dreams where you have been shot and killed, or demonic dreams of rape that are so real. You wake up screaming at that very moment. These demonic dreams are portals into the unseen world. Many times what happens in your dreams is staged to affect you, to influence satanically your life outside in the natural realm. The devil infiltrates dreams to bring destructions of every kind. You might have incubus and succubus demons. demonic soul ties in your dreams, demonic weddings in your dreams, dreams that you're in an operating room, a demonic surgery, and even dreams of premature death. An incubus is a demon in male form that lies with women in order to have sexual intercourse with them. Its counterpart is an incubus, which is a female demon believed to have sexual intercourse with men while they are sleeping. You may see yourself spiritually pregnant as you have these demonic encounters in your dreams. These dreams bring destruction of abortion, miscarriage, barrenness, and even death. The sexual dreams bring perversion, witchcraft, and manipulation. There are also other demonic dreams of witchcraft spells, demonic altars with your name and picture on them, and demonic ceremonies and rituals. You may see yourself bathing in animal/human blood, or you may see yourself dressed up in white surrounded by people you don't even know. Remember the dreams I was having there while being all dressed in white and I didn't know anybody around about me? You know, where he says up here, John says, your name and picture on them. I knew when I first got into the perversion stuff, ministering to people, I actually found out that they would take a picture of the girl they wanted to have sex with and take it home and have that picture in front of them at their computer as they watched pornography and have sex with that woman. And that's that doing that enticed the woman without their knowledge that want you. And I knew somebody that was into that, and they explained it all to me. You know, and the one time I had the young man in my house, I found him going around taking his tongue, licking the pictures, the faces of the women on the pictures. So I put all my pictures up while he was there because he was using them as sexual arousement. You know, God, this stuff is real. This stuff is real. And you know what? This is what we're facing right now. This is why we're having all the mess we're having, is because we've stuck our head in the sand and did not face reality. And it's hard to face this kind of reality because you would think, how did we ever get so sick and demented? You know? There are also demonic dreams of people chasing you or trying to kill you, and you do not even know why. These are setups and entrapments of the enemy to set you up in the natural realm for premature death. The devil uses these entrapments and attacks in the night season when you lay your head on the pillow. In the demonic world where I lived for 20 years, he knows what he's talking about. In the demonic world where I lived for 25 years, it was called catching you off guard. Many Christians do not understand the spiritual warfare that happens in their dreams, and it usually happens when they least expect it. The sad thing about it is that for a believer, it can be a spiritual death blow, because when we get up that morning, instead of renouncing and cursing it to the root, now look, we all do this, instead of renouncing and cursing it to the root, we carry this curse with dreams throughout today by speaking into it and giving it authority and attention. Giving it demonic power and giving the devil our undivided attention. Now, this is how we do that. You run to every intercessor and every so-called prophet to interpret the dream to your demise. I really believe we need to quit trying to have our dreams interpreted. I think we just need to give it to God. And like John said here, we're giving the devil honor and glory when we do that. We just need to give it to God and shut the whole thing down. The devil was setting you up by increasing his demonic arsenals against you to bring you down to nothing in the natural. I really don't want any more dreams and visions. Now, God said that, you know, we're going to have good dreams and visions. But I can just about say that a lot of you relate to what I just said about this. And, you know, if you notice, and I'm just thinking about one person called me, said, I had this dream. And then I started thinking about this person as I was typing this. And that person has fallen into that trap. And the enemy's used that dream to mess them up. Are you listening here? If you are not taught and you are not aware, how are you going to teach somebody else? And, you know, if you're going through these mess, you know, and I've had a lot of these dreams, different dreams, and they didn't make no sense to me at all. Now I know it's demonic. And, in fact, sometimes when people interpret it, I just knew it wasn't the way it was. We just need to, if it's of God, we'll know it's of God. Because I know the ones I've had that are of God. And if they're ones that set you in a twit, cover them with the blood and forget about them. But quit allowing, make sure you have your mind covered. I've noticed one thing with me, when I have a dream or a vision is bad, it's because I've gone to bed really sick and haven't prayed at all. Even though I read the word during the day, I prayed during the day, I did not cover myself before my head hit that pillow. So I start now, I don't care how sick I am, I make sure that I pray before I fall asleep. And, you know, get my mind covered so the enemy can't come in there and put stuff in my mind. You need to do that with her. That's why she has hers. You know, we really need to start being about the Father's business. Do you want to cover the pass that out? I have another little canned prayers here about everything that we just covered. But, saints, if you are going to take care of your mind, nobody else is. It's your mind. It's your job to take care of your mind. You'll sit there and act like a fool all day long, and all you have to do really is you take care of your mind. You want people to feel sorry for you. I'm sorry, but people don't feel sorry for you. No, I'm not sorry. People should not feel sorry for you. They should say, are you covering your mind with the blood of Jesus? And sometimes, you know, when the voices start talking to you during the day, cover your mind with the blood of Jesus. And you know, I don't know about you, but lately my old life has started coming back about how I was treated. And I really don't care about that junk. When it happened, I don't care about it now. So I have to keep covering my mind with the blood of Jesus, keep telling the enemy to shut up and go away. You have to work to keep yourself free. Because if you get set free, then you are a threat to the enemy. And anybody in here that God's calling you into a ministry, the enemy is going to be attacking you like you never been. You two are getting ready to be attacked like never been attacked before, so get ready. You know, and you're going to really, some people aren't going to be strong, and they're going to want to quit. You don't have to quit because God's in your corner. I'm here to tell you that God will take care of you. It doesn't matter what you're going through. He will take care of you, and he will cover you. Yes, we're going to become against, and yes, people are going to speak evil about us, and friends are even going to pat you on the back and say, I love you, and all the time they're doing something to destroy you. And this is why you have to be walking so close to God so that you aren't betrayed that way. You know, somebody might walk up to me and say, I really do love you, and God said, no, they don't. This is a show. You know, and I just smile and go on. I don't have to say, oh, you devil, get behind me. No, you know, I don't. You know, come on. Like I was in that church that time, and the pastor's wife held a Bible in front of me and said, Satan, in the name of Jesus, I command you to stop your maneuvers. And I'm sitting there thinking, what's wrong with her? Somebody else told her I was at a devil, and she believed it, so she was protecting her husband. He's up there preaching. But anyhow, did you learn anything at all tonight? And, you know, these prayers really are good prayers, and they really do help, because a lot of them I've already been praying all my life because I've always been into deliverance. And, you know, if you have questions, don't be afraid to ask. You know, it's good if you ask questions. You know, and none of us that have, if you have our email, we don't mind answering your questions, because our job is to teach you, to train you so you can go out. That's what this church is supposed to do, so you can go out and minister to the world. And the world's messed up. They're crying for help. People are committing suicide because there's nobody to help them. You know, and we need to start being those vessels of honor that God can work through. Amen. But Father, I just truly do thank you for this teaching tonight. And I thank you, Father God, for the scorpion and the frog. And I hope that we really learned a lesson from here. But then when Satan shows us a pretty picture, like you told me one time, Father God, he never shows you what's behind the picture, all the evil he has planned for me or anybody else. And I'm asking tonight, Father God, that you open up everybody's spiritual eyes and also their spiritual understanding so that you can reveal to them, Father God, the total truth of what the enemy is doing to them behind the scenes. And Father, I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. And God is saying, if you're here tonight and you really want God to really open up the spiritual realm to you, his spiritual realm, not the demonic realm, and give you insight into what's going on in your life, God said, if you really want that and you come up here, he's going to give that anointing to you so that the enemy will not be able to play games with you any longer. Amen.